This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Non-Random Thoughts. Listening to the Beatles, I can't begin to tell you how I feel when I realize how prophetic are those lyrics. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR, my whole life, I was born in 1940, my whole life I was taught that our great political economic enemy was the Soviet Union. Why? Well, because it practiced an economic system that differed from free market capitalism, and because it had a political system that was dominated by a small number of rulers and represented totalitarianism. And I look around at our nation today, and I see that what we have is crony capitalism, monopoly of markets, no prices are transparent, so you know what they actually cost. We find exploitation of the natural resources of nations around the world, the use of cheap labor depriving American workers of decent jobs by these multinational corporations that have no loyalty or allegiance to the United States. They even moved their headquarters offshore so they could evade paying taxes. And we find sign after sign after sign that the United States is becoming something very different than it used to be, a transition from the U.S. to the USSR. These 750 signing statements turning Bush into the usurper of the functions of the legislature, the judiciary, and the executive into one person? This is not what our founding fathers had in mind. And the fact that he's depleting our financial resources, running up $9 trillion in debt and adding it more and more with these pointless interventions abroad that were justified on the basis of false claims about who was responsible for the events of 9/11. Just think of it, my friends. This administration has been manipulating us, all of its political clout, all of its changes, subverting our Constitution, where the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment are all but totally vitiated, where they're conducting surveillance of you and me and our email and our phone calls and our financial records. All of this, and there's sign after sign of the growing development, emergence of a police state. We are in the midst of a transition from the U.S. to the USSR. And it's right there. It's blatant. It's right in our face, my friends. It's right there in our face. And the prop that they use to club us over the head in perpetrating this fraud is a false, grossly misleading depiction of what happened on 9/11. Now, I say to you, 3,000 of our fellow citizens died on 9/11. We have an obligation to our fellow citizens to find out how they died and why they died. If we don't know how they died, we can't begin to figure out why they died. But what we have here today, we're privileged to have an expert who can help us to understand that the way in which our own government has told us how they died is false. It's not only false, it's provably false. It's not only provably false, it's not even physically possible. What that means is this is a completely phony scenario. This is a big lie. It can't possibly have happened the way the government claims. So, I sometimes say, when I'm being interviewed on this subject, that what the government has told us about 9/11 is just fine if you're willing to believe impossible things. But if you recognize, if you understand that you can't have water freeze at temperatures above 32 and you can't have it liquid at temperatures below, you begin to grasp these laws of nature, what hold the world together. They can't be violated, they can't be changed, but that would be necessary if what the government said is true. Stand by.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive you vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
This is Jim Fetzer. The show is Non-Random Thoughts with our special guest, Judy Wood. Before we go to our first callers who are standing by, I'd like to return to the scene of the conference, Judy, where you confronted Frank Gale of the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which the government claims has provided an expert, authoritative, thorough, complete, and conclusive report that explains away all the questions that have been raised by experts across the board, especially members of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. And Judy, you're telling me that at the end of his presentation, you asked him how it could possibly be the case that asymmetrical causes, such as these modest fires scattered throughout the building, could bring about the sudden and complete loss of this asbestos coating on all the steel throughout the entire structure, which, of course, is not only absurd on its face, but would be a completely symmetrical and unpredictable, certainly not expected, effect of this asymmetrical cause.
Correct. You have asymmetrical damage, asymmetrical fires, and let's assume that you do have the exact same temperature around every one of the columns, the core columns and the perimeter columns that happen to all lose their fireproofing at the exact same time. How do you have this perfectly symmetrical collapse? Frank Gale's answer shocked me. He said, "Oh, you forgot, gravity is symmetrical."
Well, Well, gravity may be symmetrical, but all of that fireproofing remained on all that steel for all those years since the buildings were constructed. They began construction 1966 to 1970. What's going on in the 40 years since? Gravity was affecting them. Gravity was there before. Gravity was there during. Gravity was there after. Gravity obviously can't be the relevant factor since it did not change. So what did he think he was doing there?
I do not know. It seemed as though he didn't have another answer. And folks around the room, you could hear gasps around the room.
Gasps around the room that he would take such a desperate effort to pull a rabbit out of a hat to answer a simple elementary question that confronts his own account, representative of the NIST's official position.
Correct. Then he went into, as you saw, it turned into a global collapse. And
it.
I asked him about that.
It. Yeah, what was it? What is it, Frank? What is it that turned into a global collapse?
The single floor collapsing turned into this global collapse, and I asked him where the analysis was that would show this global collapse was caused by the one floor.
Right. Saying it is a different thing than proving it. What's his evidence? What's his argument?
He said it was inevitable, and I then asked him again, but where's your analysis, your scientific analysis?
Right. Where are the laws that bring about the inevitable? Of course, to be inevitable, these have to be deterministic laws, same cause, same effect. In principle, they're testable. They're empirically testable. They're potentially explanatory when the conditions to which they apply are realized. He appears to be not only not identifying the laws, but also not identifying the conditions that would have to be present to bring about their operation.
Finally, we went back and forth several times, and I wanted to see an analysis or see some sort of scientific reason why it was inevitable. And finally he said, oh, I had nothing to do with that. I'm just a materials expert. The civil engineers did that.
Civil engineers did that. Did what? He's got his own colleagues there, and he doesn't know their own analysis of the phenomena that he's there presenting a paper on at a conference?
Correct.
What a staggering admission of incompetence or duplicity. There are only two alternatives here. Either the man is massively incompetent and doesn't deserve to hold the position he does, or he's being incredibly duplicitous, deceiving you, lying to you, to your very face. This is staggering. We have some callers, Judy. We have, let's take our first caller, Bill in Texas. Bill, are you there?
So much. I'm so honored to speak to both of you. I'd like to ask, I'm probably, you're preaching to the choir when it comes to me, and so I would like to engage in what I would call shop talk with you all. But I'm not sure. Maybe the audience for this is more people who aren't as deep into this as we all are.
Yes.
But if I could engage in shop talk, one of the things that I've been doing, and I've been obsessed as much as I think others have with this, because it's just so frustrating to imagine how this could be happening, to how we could be lied to like we are. I've been trying to go back to the news reports of 9/11, what was published about the towers, what it said. I actually found where the pancake theory was first reported in a newspaper, and I don't have the name, but one of the things it led me to, and I'd like to ask Judy or either one of you about this, if you know, there's this huge multinational conglomerate that's huge into building and structural engineering and engineering consultant.
Bechtel.
Called ARUP.
Okay.
ARUP.
Go on.
Have you heard of them, Judy?
No, I haven't.
One of the representatives from ARUP was interviewed in England, or from his office, or rather, with the phone, and he was one of the first people to put out the pancake theory. And I encourage everybody to Google ARUP and look at who they are. And the reason I think that's so important, and this is obvious to you and me and Judy, but I don't think it's obvious to a lot of other people who aren't so deep into this, the evidence leads you to see that there was a team. I don't know whether it was a team of 10 people or a team of 100 people, but there was a significant team that was pre-stationed, knew that this was going to happen, and the evidence leads you to conclude they had their disinfo campaign arranged to happen. Everything from interviews around Ground Zero, everything to newspaper interviews, and as you begin to look at this, you understand not just how Frank Gehl may be lying, but you understand that this plot was well done. I mean, even you wonder why MIT's Thomas Eagar was so ready to pitch into the nonsense. You wonder all these questions.
Bill, this is fascinating. I want to ask you to elaborate more, but let me draw a parallel. After the death of U.S. Senator Paul Wellstone in the final stages of a campaign against Norm Coleman, the hand-picked candidate for the White House, a memorial service was held. Because his death had occurred in the last 10 days of the campaign, it was perfectly predictable that the memorial service would have political aspects and overtones. And in fact, his former campaign manager made a rather impassioned speech about completing the campaign, you know, getting back on that bus for Paul Wellstone. Now, Republicans all over the country began immediately savaging the Democrats, trashing them for having had this memorial service and having turned it into a campaign rally. Now, I say this was precisely the kind of opportunistic seizing the moment, having a prepositioned plan, a previously in place plan. I was watching Peggy Noonan, for example, on a panel discussion on MSNBC, and she began hammering this theme. I think the Republicans were so apprehensive that this memorial service was going to inspire Democrats across the country that they had to tarnish it some way. They knew there'd be some political aspect and that they could magnify it, exaggerate it, and use it as a tool. Now, that's a small example of having an anticipatory plan. There was no way in which Peggy Noonan actually had witnesses or knew what actually had happened in Minneapolis. She wasn't there. She didn't have access. She had no reports that I know of other than the report to have the green light to go ahead and do this. Now, what you're saying, I think, is absolutely correct. There are parallels with JFK. Immediately, there were announcements being made. Merriman Smith, who was way back in the motorcade, was immediately reporting three shots fired. Well, hey, the acoustics in Dealey Plaza are such that it's very difficult to sort out how many shots might have been fired. Most of the weapons were silenced. He was offering a premature version of a story that was widely announced then. So headlines around the country said three shots. Well, we've actually gone back and we've investigated the death of JFK, and frankly, 8, 9, or 10 shots were fired in Dealey Plaza during the assassination. So you've begun to see how effective it can be and what a difference it can make to start disseminating false stories that support a predetermined account of what happened in a significant case. And the one you're talking about, of course, is overwhelming, 9/11. Tell us more, then, how you could tell that this was a scheme that had been coordinated to disseminate false information about 9/11.
Well, actually, and Professor Wood may be able to explain this. I took some engineering in college, but I can't claim to be an expert. But what leads you to the conclusion that they were pre-positioning is because if you look at the scientific evidence, which you are looking at, it's impossible for the scientific educational community to buy into this unless there was a massive way of controlling this. And I think that's the thing that I don't want to take Professor Wood's time away from this, but that's the thing that once you realize what collusion and what has gone on, the next question is, how on earth did they get these people to cooperate in this?
Well, these are really good questions, Judy.
We know one fellow at New Mexico Tech took in a total of around $85 million in grants for changing his story. No, I'm sorry. It just happened to be, it was coincidental, a week later, he recanted his story and then got $85 million in grants.
Isn't that amazing? Go on.
And actually, I want to allow time for other callers. But
no, you're doing fine, Bill.
I'd like to make kind of a criticism or a question that hopefully, I mean, I am following this, and I guess my heart and soul is based on us being successful in communicating with the rest of the American people. So as I see you on your PR campaign, Professor Fetzer, I want to give you a general question or a general thing. I see you're going to be with Laura Ingraham tomorrow.
Yes.
And I would just ask you, if you're calculating to be kind of in your face in terms of your approach.
Now that would be telling, wouldn't it, Bill?
And I just would...
Look. Let me just say, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate your concerns, and just... you don't worry. Let's see what happens. Stand by. We'll be right back with Judy Wood and Bill in Texas.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly. Blackbird fly. Into the light.
This is your host, Jim Fetzer. We're on Non-Random Thoughts with my special guest, Judy Wood, and we're completing a phone call with Bill in Texas. Bill, before we turn to another caller, would you have any other questions for Judy Wood?
I don't have a question for Judy. I honor your work. I appreciate your involvement. And Professor Fetzer, I just would suggest that maybe a soft shoe type approach might be a little bit better.
Bill, thank you so much for calling. Okay, it's been great having you on. Excellent
Bye-bye.
Questions and 100% appreciation of your call. Thank
okay,
you so much. We have another caller, Kevin in Colorado. Kevin.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Judy. I just got a couple observations, and then I have one question.
Sure.
First of all, the reason for the speed of the collapse of the towers, wouldn't that be due to the fact that the explosions actually evacuate the air and therefore create an entire vacuum down the height of the building, which causes it to fall.
Which explosions? You mean from a controlled demolition, from prepositioned explosives?
Yep.
Yeah. That could contribute, that you could have those explosives going off and they suck all the oxygen out of the air, they consume it, because explosion is a form of oxidation and therefore that might be a contributing factor. Okay, what we'll ask an expert here in one moment. And what's your other, another question related to that?
Then opposite to that is that if there weren't explosions and if you were to believe a pancake theory, the fact that you have these sealed pillows of air on every floor, wouldn't that even further slow down the collapse of the towers because there's this total enveloped air cushion on every floor?
That's very nice. Very nice, Kevin. I'm going to bring you back. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to bring you back for your comment. We're going to just turn these questions over to Judy first. Judy?
Okay. Yes, well, as for his first observation, if you're turning the building into dust, into just totally pulverizing it, the timing is only relevant as far as setting off the detonations. There's no collapse timing of material, because once the material's been pulverized, it's aloft, and it's not touching the building.
Good. So there isn't a mass to press down for the vacuum to make a difference.
Correct. It's just the timing of the detonation of the charges.
Because a vacuum would only make a difference if you had something in free fall like that grand piano we were talking about.
Right.
And then, of course, there could be sufficient air resistance that would slow it down and come to a maximum speed. But in this case, there's nothing falling because it's all being turned into sawdust, as you put it, as it comes down. So the presence or absence of the vacuum wouldn't contribute to the speed of its disintegration.
Correct. And if you were going to bring down the towers by controlled demolition, if you were hired to do that job, you would want to do it the safest way possible to not damage adjacent buildings. The only way really to do it is to blow up the top portion, because you can't control, it's over a quarter of a mile tall. You can't control where that part's going to fall. But pulverizing it, you don't have a control problem.
Yeah, if you had terrorists who were actually trying to do a lot of damage, I mean, that's the idea, presumably. They'd want the building to topple over or crush other buildings. Lots of citizens, cars, automobiles create panic.
Yeah.
Didn't happen that way, did it?
Nope.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I want you to offer whatever other comments you want to propose.
Okay. I mean, if one is to believe this pancake theory, that means that you disbelieve the fact that this dust all over Manhattan is actually mainly concrete. And then if you believe the pancake theory and all these floors pancake down upon each other down to the ground level, what would the height of that pile of concrete be?
That's great. In other words, where are the pancakes?
Stack of pancakes.
Where's the stack? Where's the stack? You know, we can go into Perkins and order pancakes, and if they brought us a pile of dust, we wouldn't be happy, right? Where are the pancakes? Remember the old commercial, where's the beef?
Yeah.
Right? Now we're asking, where are the pancakes, Judy?
I didn't see any.
How many should there have been? What should it look like if the pancake theory were true?
I would think if the pancake theory were true, I would think it would have behaved more like an avalanche, where one part keeps adjusting as another piece adjusts, something else moves and something else moves, and you'd have this huge pile of rubble that would be adjusting.
And the huge pile of rubble might have been what, 10, 20, 30 stories high?
Probably somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there, because you're putting together 110 floors.
Correct.
And each of them has mass, and each is a contributor to the pile of rubble. It's going to be pretty impressive. But in fact, you know, observers came, and they were stupefied, stunned. They looked at where these 110-story buildings had been, and all they could find was dust. They couldn't even find a part of a desk or a chair or a telephone or a computer. Just a mass of very fine dust, utterly inexplicable on the government's official account. And yet that's what happened in New York on 9/11. Kevin, do you have more comments you'd like to toss in?
No, that's just it. Thanks for the great work you guys do.
Well, I want to thank you for calling. Excellent questions. Very useful in illuminating what's going on here.
Okay, thanks.
Judy, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll talk about your models and your research and go further. Thanks so much for being here. Jim Fetzer, Non-Random Thoughts.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all you see. It's getting hard to be someone, but it all works out. It doesn't matter much to me. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing is real, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields forever.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Non-Random Thoughts, welcoming you back to our special interview with Judy Wood, who is a prominent member of Scholars for 9/11 Truth and the co-editor of the new Journal of 9/11 Studies, which has been established by Judy and Steve Jones, professor of physics from Brigham Young University, who is my co-chair and who assisted me in founding the organization of experts, scholars, and other students who are committed to exposing falsehoods and revealing the truth about the events of 9/11 and letting the chips fall where they may. Judy, we do have a caller from Canada, but before we turn to him, I would like to ask you about your recent participation in the Society of Engineering Mechanics Conference and about what you had to say there, and we'll go from there.
Well, at the conference, I gave a presentation on my billiard ball models, and these were senior-level engineering professors in the area of experimental mechanics engineering mechanics and mechanical engineering. And surprisingly, they hadn't really ventured into questioning the story that we were given on 9/11. Dead set on believing the official story, it's always a treacherous maneuver to expose them to the truth. And I carefully went through my presentation and let them come to the conclusion on their own that there was just no doubt that the building could have come down as quickly as we were told, within an order of magnitude at that time.
No doubt that the government's account had to be false, just based on the very simple consideration you were advancing in relation to time.
Correct. I just was looking at time, because that's something we can all observe. And at the end, during the question and answers, one fellow wanted to time one of the videos I was showing, thinking that he can come up with something more than 10 seconds, but then another person spoke up and said, okay, so it's 10.1, 10.5 seconds or 12 seconds. That's a long way away from 100 seconds.
That's right. If it took a second per floor, for example, it would be 110. A half second per floor, 55. Judy, we have some callers. We have some callers stacked up. I'm going to start inviting them in. We're going to begin with Neil in Canada. Are you there, Neil?
Good day, sir.
Please.
Hello, Judy.
Hello.
I was just looking up some research on who started this pancake theory, this crazy theory. And USA Today, on September 12th, 2001, they have, I'll just read it here. It says, the momentum was too much to handle, says William Fasten, a partner at Leslie E. Robertson & Associates, the structural engineers for the towers. A given floor normally could support the weight of the three floors, but that assumes that the weight is imposed in a gradual manner. And there was nothing gradual about the process once each tower began to collapse. It took just moments for the growing weight and velocity of the wreckage to rip through the lower floors as though they were tissue. The buildings imploded just as they would if demolition experts had been hired to do the job.
Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? This is the cover
today.
Story right in your face. Wonderful.
Isn't that amazing?
That's wonderful, Neil. That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I'll email you off that link and get that up on the site. That's
great. I think we'll have to add it to ft911.org. Judy?
Yes, that's a great article.
I mean, it just shows the duplicity right there. And see, when they say that the effects would be as though, just the same as if it had been controlled demolition, that means this is their plausible deniability in relation to the evidence that proves it was controlled demolition.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like what Dan Rather said on the evening of 9/11.
When he was reporting it as it was coming down.
And he said, well, gee, this looks just like controlled demolition.
crazy.
So who are you going to believe, the government or your lying eyes? Neil, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Alan in Texas. Alan? Oh. Alan in Texas. Alan?
Hi there. This is Ripper Hanser calling, actually. It's
okay.
Nice to talk to you both.
Our pleasure.
Done some articles and a bit of just sort of rebutting some of the attacks that have been coming towards you guys lately. But what I wanted to point out was whenever I bring up Judy's billiard ball model for people to consider, I get letters like this one. This one was posted at 911 Blogger, and it goes like this. It has been pointed out to me that your billiard ball model does not take the transfer of kinetic energy into account, and it goes on from there, as in, that is, as each ball hit the next, it would transfer some of its energy to the next ball. And the typical point they're trying to make is that there should be some acceleration, and it's not accounted for in your model. And I was wondering if you could address that.
Sure. Judy?
Well, it's been shown through papers of other people that there wasn't enough energy you can develop through kinetic energy to pulverize the floor. There was also not enough energy to collapse the columns.
So since there's not enough energy to do either of those, here these accounts require that there be enough energy to do both. And Judy's
more.
Analysis is based on just giving them premises that are false, that can't be true, and studying the temporal relations to show that even in addition, if you assume there were enough energy of those two different kinds, it still can't be true, given the observed evidence. Is that right, Judy?
Correct.
All right. Well, thanks for that. And another question I wanted to ask was, why is there just sort of this tacit silence coming from the structural engineering community? Is it because they, you know, don't want to conflict with the work that the AC or ASCE did for NIST? I was just wondering if you could speculate on that.
Well, this is a great question. I mean, you know, these people lack integrity or they are corrupt. I mean, it cannot be the case that they can look at the physics of these collapses, which are so simple and so elementary and where the evidence is so obvious, and not understand that the government has been lying to the American people. So what do they have, a greater loyalty to their contracts, to their jobs, to their businesses, or do they have some transcendent obligation as American citizens to speak up on behalf of this nation and help to preserve our constitutional republic? I am disgusted, disgusted with the structural engineers who know the truth about this and are keeping their mouths shut. There's a special place in hell reserved for them, and they are going to deserve it. I cannot thank you enough for asking the question.
Do you have any comments on that, Judy?
I totally agree with what Jim said.
Okay, well, I'll just close. I'll let you get on to another caller. The last thing I'd want to say is there must be a limited hangout theory that is going to come out, because if Professor Jones is correct and he can prove that Thermate was used, I believe that there will be some sort of cover story. And if you want to speculate on that, that's fine, but I'll let you move on to the next caller. Thanks.
Ellen, that's great. Good questions. I really appreciate your call. Just to fill in for the sake of our audience, Steve Jones, who's done a tremendous amount of study about the physical, possible alternative physical explanation of the collapse, believes that a very powerful explosion known as thermite was used in a sulfur-enhanced version known as thermate, in that in order to bring about the pulverization of the concrete, the office furniture, and all that, it may very well have been in a nanotechnology-enhanced version called super thermate, that this could account for the phenomena that were observed here and explain all the evidence we have available about the collapse, and that during the 2 weeks before or prior to 9/11, there were abnormal security lapses in the Twin Towers. Major sections of the buildings were closed down. The employees were sent home. The security apparatus was shut off. And teams, being described as engineers, were sent in and out of the buildings to have free access to all parts of the building, ostensibly to do recabling in the building, but it had never happened before. And Steve estimates that as few as 10 men, 40 men making 10 trips apiece could have implanted enough thermate to bring about the explosions that we observed and all of those effects. Judy?
Well, one beautiful thing about ST-911, about our group, is that we have a number of different standalone just proofs of the government story. Any one of them takes it down. So it's not dependent on just one, and they all fortify each other.
That's right. So I think it's going to be very difficult to come up with a fallback. What's the true dimensions? The magnitude of the deception has been exposed. And here's something quite striking. NIST admitted they found sulfur residues on the steel, which they could not explain. And of course, however, that would be a predictable effect from the use of thermate, since it's a combination of sulfur with thermite. Plus, now, Steve Jones has acknowledged, has reported in the last couple of weeks that he has, in addition, discovered residues of thermite on some of the steel. The government made its best effort to get rid of all the evidence. Mayor Giuliani was out there ensuring it be loaded up and shipped off to China by a very efficient company by the name of Controlled Demolition Incorporated. But some samples have remained, and Steve has had access to them, and he's discovered what I would take to be conclusive evidence that these buildings were brought down by thermate. We're going to another caller, Alan in Kansas. Alan, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, Alan, please.
Okay, I got two parts.
Go.
Number one, I've been thinking about if, let's say, we got a pancaking effect like they're trying to tell us, and the internal was absolutely of no resistance down to about floor 50, all the pressure of that pushing straight down from floor 50 down should have pushed the outer walls out like a banana peel. And they should have been laying out, spread out, like it should have ruptured that building.
That's fascinating. That's completely fascinating. Judy, what do you think about that?
I think because it wasn't the top half of the building falling as one unit, but it was floor by floor by floor.
But I mean, he's saying, Judy, it's like the trash compactor model. He's saying if you got all these floors pancaking, that they should have brought enough pressure. I mean, that's essentially a hermetically sealed building. Shouldn't have been the case that there was enough air pressure building up that the walls should have expanded or blown out.
Should have blown out just as if you got a pressure vessel and you're pushing in on it like a bicycle pump,
mm-hmm.
and it gets too much pressure. Somewhere around 450, that should have just blown the walls straight out to the side.
That's a very good point, that they should have gone straight out to the sides, not up.
That's right. That's right. Just like a banana peel, it should have just ripped the walls out to the side just from the pressure of that mass pushing down inside.
This is a very interesting observation, Alan. Please tell us more.
Okay. Second part is when trying to figure the fall, I don't remember enough calculus and haven't worked this to do it, but it's like if you're trying to figure the pressure on the gate at the bottom of a dam.
Yes.
You know, the deeper you go, the more pressure per square inch.
Yes.
You have to use calculus to consider the force on that gate.
Yes.
Now, if you go up to like 100 floors, the first floor, if you're talking about this being cut on the way down, first floor, the 100th floor only fell to floor 99. The next floor, 99, only fell to floor 98. All the way down to the bottom floor, floor 1, only fell to the ground floor.
Yes.
If you need some kind of calculus, way to figure the speed of this, because I think somewhere in that, each floor just falling one floor, you're going to find you lose a little bit of, I mean, you actually gain speed because you lose the distance of the fall.
Very interesting. Judy actually has developed a model that has elasticity and can account for virtually any scenario that one wants to pose. Judy?
Which model are you talking about? Like the floor-by-floor?
Yeah, variations, because he's now talking about one floor by one floor.
I'm saying if each floor, if it was cut on the way down, between the cuts, above the cut, only fell the distance to the next cut.
Right.
You see, and then that cut only fell to the distance of the next cut. So I'm saying we're not talking about the speed of, say, 100 or 110 floors falling, 100 and 110 floors. We're only talking about the speed of falling
one
the
floor.
Next cut accumulated
one floor at a time.
All the way down.
One floor at a time.
And yes. with my model, looking at one floor falling to the next floor, I calculate a minimum of 97 seconds.
Terrific. See how close that is to 1 second per floor? Alan, you're making an excellent point. I'm real tickled with your call.
Well, I'm just thinking on this and listening to you, and I'm saying, you know, it's not as obvious as it might be out front, you know, with somebody just counting change.
Yeah.
It's not just 100 floors falling 100 floors.
Yes. Well, this is a key thing, Alan. You're thinking about it. They don't want the American people to think about it. Remember, the government said, don't think about outrageous conspiracy theories, concealing at one and the same time that the government's own account of these 19 Islamic fundamentalists hijacking these four planes using box cutters under control of a man in a cave off in Afghanistan was itself a conspiracy theory. We have indeed been demonstrating how outrageous it is. We aren't the conspiracy theorists. We're critics of the government's own outrageous conspiracy theory, and we've only been forced to these conclusions of necessity given the logic and the evidence of the situation we confront. Alan, excellent, excellent call. Thank you so much. Jeff in Florida. Jeff, are you there?
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I did a calculation. I'm a physics professor, and I just wanted to ask Judy to check my calculation briefly.
Sure.
I calculated how much potential energy there would be under the government's pancake theory versus how much energy it would take to pulverize the concrete into fine dust into 60 micrometer fragments, and I come up with about 500 times difference in energy too much. In other words, the potential energy would be too small by a factor of 500. Does that sound reasonable, Judy?
That sounds in the right ballpark.
Okay.
I've heard numbers of 100 and
yeah.
So 500 depends on what safety factors you're thinking of, and so forth. But you're right,
yeah,
in the right
do,
ballpark.
You know, a fracture energy of 6,700 joules per kilogram, and shattering it into 60 micrometer fragments for the dust, and with that figure, and then taking about, I don't know, 6 meters per floor, how much potential energy? That's what I came out with. So.
just to translate for our listeners out there, what the professor of physics has calculated is that the difference between the actual energy available from, say, for example, the crash of the planes and the modest fires, if there had been a pancake effect, is 500 times too low, too little, too lacking in enough energy to convert all that concrete, that desk furniture, that asbestos and everything else into fine dust. He's calculating that the government's account is a whopper, a giant lie by a factor of 500. You think about that.
And that's
Jeff,
just
I want to compliment you for your call.
I was just curious, and that calculation took me all of about 15 minutes.
And this is further confirmation of structural engineers, you see. They are cowards. They know enough. The physics is elementary. It took Jeff 15 minutes to figure out that the government was lying by a factor of 500. Where are the structural and engineers who have some integrity and who care about their country and are committed to keeping this a free nation? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? We'll be right back with Judy Wood.
Headline news. The much-anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion. If we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England? And the concentration camps throughout history? They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's the J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Clinging wife doesn't understand.
This is Jim Fetzer. The program is Non-Random Thoughts with my special guest, Judy Wood. I just want to translate that Beatles song for the benefit of those who don't know, but in England, paperback is a slang term for a dirty book. And I just want to say that we have a perfect example of a paperback that's been given to us by the federal government. It's called the 9/11 Commission Report. It's pornography. It's not true. It's talking about the death of 3,000 American civilians, and it's betraying their lives by shoveling lies, deception, deceit on the American people. We have the expertise, we have the knowledge, we have admirable people like Jeff in Florida and Judy in South Carolina and Steve in Utah who are doing their best to tell you that the government is shoveling manure on the American people, playing us for suckers, playing us for saps. Bogey wouldn't have taken it. We aren't going to take it. Don't let yourself be played for a sucker. The American government is lying and deceiving the American people, using acts of violence and threats of acts of violence to instill fear into us so it can manipulate us. Hitler knew this. Hermann Göring knew this. He said it's very easy to manipulate the people, tell them they're subject to an external attack, and they will gladly surrender their liberty. Benjamin Franklin observed, if we're willing to sacrifice liberty for security, then we deserve neither liberty nor security. My friends, this is a monstrous lie, a monstrous lie. There are many reasons why Dick Cheney and George Bush resisted having any investigation at all. If this man truly were committed to our security, there should be nothing more important than find out what happened on 9/11, who was responsible, and why it happened. His attitude has been precisely, exactly the opposite. Stonewalling, pushing it off, resisting until the political pressure from the families of 9/11 victims made it politically impossible to resist any longer. And then he tried to put in charge who? Henry Kissinger, a guy who's just terrific to run a commission if you want to bury the evidence, if you don't want anyone to know the truth. And then when Kissinger was rejected, who did he put in his place? Philip Zelikow. Philip Zelikow, my friends, is not an historian. Philip Zelikow, my friends, is not a scientist. Philip Zelikow is an expert in the creation and manipulation of myths. You go right now to Wikipedia, you look up Philip Zelikow, and you see what you find about this man. This man has created a monstrous myth. He has created a myth based upon phony cell phone calls, imaginary hijackers whose names aren't on any passenger manifest, never subject to any tautology. Phony fabricated tape recordings that have conversations of passengers talking about they're going to use a drink cart to break down the cabin door from the cockpit voice recorder. Just think of this, my friends. Cockpit voice recorders do not record conversations in passenger compartments. You think about it. Your government is only the biggest liar in the world. That's all. That's your government. That's your president, George W. Bush. Thank you for joining us.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.